Good morning.
If you have been with us, last week we talked a little bit about church and we talked about what makes church a church. Have you ever wondered what is the difference between what you're doing here today and a difference between a TED Talk or a workshop or a seminar? What's the difference between a church and a social gathering? Does it mean that when Christians gather together, that's a church? We talk about how the church is God's idea. It is not a man-made concept. It has to be God's idea for church to survive thousands and thousands of years of persecution, thousands and thousands of years of human flaws and human sinfulness, how civilization comes and goes and empires come and go, and yet the church of God is still standing, it is still advancing, it is still strong. We talk about how the church of God is the bride of Christ and the church is the body of Christ with God as the head of the church. And we believe that the church is the greatest force on earth. And it will be for thousands and thousands of years to come. I was having coffee with a young pastor just about 3 days ago in a large, a little bit more traditional denomination. But we shared the same passion for the local church and we had a good 2 hours chat on a Thursday evening. Just talking about what God is doing through the church. And they run a school whereby there are 70, 80 people who are working full-time and yet they take part-time courses to be equipped. And half of them will be ordained as pastors maybe 2-3 years down the road. So it's exciting to see what God is doing through the church. We go back to the first church in the New Testament. You recall Apostle Peter was a disciple of Jesus Christ. He was a fisherman. He followed Jesus. He denied Jesus when he was arrested. But 3 days later, when Jesus arose and appeared to him again, his life was radically transformed for someone who denied him to someone who now is willing to go around preaching about the message that Jesus is risen. And this was his first summary of his message when 3,000 people were gathered and they were asking Peter, what must we do to be saved after he heard the message about Jesus? And Peter replied, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, at that time, when he said in the name of Jesus Christ, the name Jesus Christ was a scandalous name. The name Jesus Christ was a name that will get you into trouble. The name Jesus Christ was potentially will get you into prison lockup, or potentially will get you crucified. So it's not a very common name. I know it's common for us here today when we pray, we say in Jesus' name. But when he was preaching this message for the very first time in Jesus' name, it was like revolutionary, okay? For the forgiveness of your sin, and he says, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 41, it says, those who accepted his message, those who received that message, what message? The verse before, they were baptized and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. And we talk about how the church from then on is really a gathering of people around the message of the gospel. The church is founded upon this very message. If you recall, in those days, the early disciples, they were eyewitnesses of the empty tomb. We sang the song, the stone has been rolled away and he has risen. They were eyewitness to this resurrected Jesus before Jesus was taken up to heaven. So as the church grows, the church must continue to teach, to preach, and to live out this message. The day we stop doing that is the day we stop being a church. We might as well be a social club, right? We might as well come here, have fun, have coffee, hear a good message. But that's about it. There's no power for life change. In fact, this statement, Jesus himself preached the same message. If you recall in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was walking and the message that Jesus preached was, repent for the kingdom of God is near. Are you aware that today, 2,000 years down the road, we are still talking and preaching the same message that Jesus himself is preaching? Okay, so that's something for us to think about. To be honest, this message is like what the Bible says, it is a message of foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who believe, it is the power of God to save. So what does God want us to do with the message? Number one, Jesus invites us to come and see. We are used to inviting people, right? We invite people to movies. We invite people to Korean barbecue. We invite people for a walk. Okay, we invite people for a run. Nowadays, there are so many runs. So every weekend, there is a run here and there. This morning, as I came out from the house to come to church, there was a run. I had to detour a little bit because there was a run. And I'm sure your friends might have invited you. Hey, let's join me for this run, 5 km run this Saturday morning at 5 a.m. He says, maybe not, but I'll join you for breakfast. Okay, so you invite people for breakfast. We are used to invitation, but at the same time, Jesus or God, throughout the scriptures, invite all of us to come and see, to come and discover, to come and experience, to come and taste the goodness and the greatness of God. Okay, let's look at scripture. John chapter 1, this is talking about John the Baptist. He says, the next day, John the Baptist, he was there with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, it is the Lamb of God. Now, prophetically, he had a revelation that Jesus will be the sacrificial Lamb of God for the forgiveness of our sins. If you know a little bit of the Jewish rituals, in those days, once a year, they would take animals and they would sacrifice the animals, and the shedding of the blood will then atone for the forgiveness of sin. Okay, so we see that in different culture. We see that in worship. We see that even in our traditional Chinese culture, whereby we will sacrifice certain things. We will burn incense. We will sacrifice the chicken, a certain food as a sacrifice, right? So he says he is the Lamb of God, which was prophetically talking about Jesus. 3 years down the road, he will be crucified on the cross for our sins. So when his two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. And John was very secure. He didn't say, no, these are my disciples. Jesus, you go and find your own disciples. No, he says the disciples followed him, and John releases the disciples. Turning around, Jesus saw them and he asked, what do you want? And they say, Rabbi, which means teacher. And they ask, where are you staying? Isn't it strange? He said, where are you staying? Basically, they wanted to come with Jesus. In those days, when you travel, they would travel for days. So once they reach a certain place, they will find a place to stay. Maybe they stay in an inn, they stay with someone that they know, or maybe they just find a place they will just lay down and sleep. So basically, they wanted to follow Jesus. Jesus, where are you staying tonight? And Jesus says, come. And you will see the invitation of Jesus to come. And the scripture says it was about 4 in the afternoon. It was already getting late. Those days, they don't have electricity. They don't go out mama at night like you guys at 11 p.m. at night. Okay, by 6, 7 p.m., it's getting dark, and usually they will just lie down and just quiet down, and they will just chat, and they will go to sleep early, and they'll wake up early. It was 4 p.m. Jesus didn't turn them away. Jesus didn't say, come back tomorrow, I'll tell you, and see me next week. Jesus says, come, and you will see. And he invited him to where he was staying, and he invited them to an up-close, personal, and intimate relationship with him. And that's what Jesus wants to do. And even now, he is inviting each and every one of us to have a personal, up-close relationship with this God. And that's why the saying goes, Christianity is not a religion, but it's a relationship with God. Before I came to know Christ, I'm thinking, what in the world is that? How does it even make sense? But as I come and see, as I begin to come and taste and experience God, I begin to understand this journey of a relationship with God. Okay, so that's the message of the gospel, that we point people to Jesus Christ. And sometimes when you come to church, when you can enjoy the coffee, you can enjoy the music, you can enjoy the friendship, but if you miss out coming to Jesus, if you missed out God's invitation, you miss the point, you miss the whole thing. And you can come here and enjoy the music, but if you have missed out the invitation to connect with God in a deeper way, you have missed out worshiping and praising God, you missed it. It became a karaoke session. So Jesus is still inviting you. And we can look at the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah. Prophet Isaiah was saying that, come now. That's the word again, come. Let's come now. Let us settle the matter. It talks about our sinfulness. It says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. If you have seen snow, if you have been to snowy area, I'm not talking about polluted snow, but if you've seen pure snow in the mountain, it is pure and it is white. It says, though they are red as crimson, they will be like wool, okay, which is white. And this passage is talking about the invitation of God, no matter how sinful we think we are. I always hear this phrase when I invite people, hey, would you want to come to church? And they will say, oh, church is for people who are holy, holy. Yeah, I'm not holy enough. I'm not worthy enough to come to church. I'm still doing this. I'm still doing that. But that's not what church is all about. Jesus came. He says, I came to save the sinners, not for the righteous. Doctors are there for those who are sick, not for those who are healthy. In the same way, right, you can come as you are in church to come to God, and you can come to God. And with all our shame, with all our guilt, you can come to God. And recently, we were praying for someone. This was maybe about a month or two ago, and he was asking God for forgiveness for all the different things that he has done in his life. And he summarized that prayer in one way. He says, I felt redeemed. I felt redemption. You know, this Isaiah 1 has happened in him, that if you are struggling with sin, if you are struggling with certain addiction, certain bondage, things that you know it's not right but you can't stop, come to God. Come to God because he will give you the power over sin. He will transform you and he empowers you with his power and grace to overcome sin in your life. Our robe is white as snow because his robe is red. Okay, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. And that's why he had to die for us on the cross. You recall the conversation that Jesus had with the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. A little bit of summary. So this woman, she was an outcast. She was rejected. The whole town kind of just shunned her because of her lifestyle, because she's living in sin, she's living in adultery. But yet Jesus knew all that, and yet Jesus struck up a conversation with her, and when she encountered the forgiveness and the life of Jesus, guess what? She was transformed. All her shame, all her guilt, all her sinfulness was being taken away and washed away clean. So that's the power of Jesus. So today, you can come to Jesus. You can come to God, wherever you are. Fast forward again to the New Testament, Jesus himself said, come to me, those of you who are weary, those of you who are burdened, and I will give you rest. And we all go through life. They are precious in life. They are despair. If you are sitting here, you're going through certain pressure. You're going through certain rejection. People don't understand you. It's okay not to be okay. Today's world, we live in the times whereby there is so much mental pressure. There is so much mental disorder and illness. And it's okay not to be okay because God is okay. And God says, you can come to me. So if you're sitting here and you're going through a certain season of your life where you felt, I don't know, hopeless, you felt discouraged, you felt lack of direction, you felt purposeless, you felt trapped, you felt not being understood, it's okay. Come to Jesus. It's okay to cry. It's okay to get stressed out. It's okay. People in the Bible, they go through seasons like that as well. Job, Abraham, Jeremiah. They go through seasons where they are conflicted and they are confused and they are despair. But they come to God. And here, Jesus promised that when you come to me, I will give you rest. And I want that rest from God. Jesus invites us to come and see. You know, sitting here in his church, 80-85% of us are here today because someone invited you. Rarely I met someone who is new in this place. When I ask him, how do you find us? And rarely someone will say, well, I was looking for breakfast and I ended up here. Rarely, okay? There are some small percentage, maybe 10% will say they'll find us because of Google. But if you trace back to where they came from, they were in the church. They were in the community of God's believers because someone has invited them to come and see. I remember when I came to campus, when I did my A-levels many, many years ago, there were people that invited me to life. Hey, when you want to come and see what we do in church? And over the months I visited, I came and I saw and I began to experience. I didn't come from a Christian background, but as I journey on, I began to realize that, hey, this makes sense, that there is a God. And that journey continues on. And that's the story for many of you. I want to share a story of a family who recently came last year. They were invited by a friend and they came. This is the family of Darren and Suzanne and their three lovely children. So when I texted Darren to send me a picture of their family, he sent me himself wearing a Chelsea jersey just to mock me. But it's okay, you know, Christ is still transforming him. But that's okay, okay? Man U fans, you can also come to Jesus and he will give you rest, okay? But anyway, so that's him. And Darren came maybe towards Q3 of last year, about a year ago. Joesha, his high school friend, has been inviting him. And there were a few common friends here, Nick and all. They have been inviting him. They says, come and see. A group of us is in church, come and see. And throughout the years, he was also curious. because he saw changes in some of his high school friends and how God has transformed. And some of their friends, he couldn't believe his eyes and how God has transformed them. So finally, Q3 last year, he came the first 2 weeks on his own to come and see. He responded to the invitation to come and see. And his response was, he said that when he first came, he felt welcomed. He says the ushers were friendly and warm. Okay, how many ushers here? Wave your hands. Good job for them. Okay. So he said the ushers, they were warm and they made him feel welcome. And he says that the word of God spoke to him. And I asked him who was speaking that day. He said it was me. So thank you. But anyway, jokes aside. But he said that he felt that God was real. So he came for 2 weeks. The people, the community, the fellowship, the message, the worship just kind of spoke to him. So on the third week, he invited his whole family to come. His kids connected into the kids' church. The eldest daughter is in teens group. And they just continued to come. And after about a couple of months, on the 23rd of December, just 2 days before Christmas, both he and the wife put their trust and put their faith in Jesus Christ. And that's the beginning of that journey, and an exciting journey. So that's Darren, and that's the life group that they're in. And Nick continued to do one-to-one, which is a little journey that we encourage. Whether you are a new believer or whether you are someone who is seeking to know about who this God is, there's a little booklet, or now you can just download it on the app to kind of walk you through who this Jesus is, what is prayer, what is repentance, what is baptism, what is the Bible. So Nick finishes that one-to-one with him. And now today he's serving in a sound crew. Both he and a wife was baptized this year. Glory to God. I want to share the testimony of Suzanne, which is his wife. So Suzanne had severe migraine for more than 20 years. Sometimes up to 4 or 5 times a week. And it will be so painful that at times she will even vomit. How many guys know that that's severe? She felt like there is someone banging the wall on her head. And it was so severe that they actually went for 3 MRI scan over the couple of years. Because it's so bad, they went to check it out. Something must be wrong. But the 3 MRI scan reports doesn't show anything. Okay? It doesn't tell what's wrong. So she ended up tolerating this migraine pain for 20 over years. And she had to work. She had to take care of the family. She will be on Panadol painkillers. In certain season when it's so bad that the doctor will prescribe stronger painkiller for her to just get through the day. And sometimes the pain will last up to a day. And sometimes when it's bad, it will last up to even 2 days and 3 days. Can you imagine that? Going through that. So when they first got saved last year, they said, hey, let's pray for migraine. And for 3 weeks, they pray as a family. They pray as a life group. Then I think one or two of the service, after the service, they asked me to pray for her migraine for 3 weeks. And as the week goes by, she began to realize that her migraine actually subsided tremendously. Or as the weeks goes by, she began to notice that the migraine occurrence is lesser and lesser and shorter and shorter. Okay, so that's about almost 9 months ago. And yesterday when I asked them, when was the last time that you have migraine? And she said it was 6 months ago. And God has healed her. Praise God. You know, when you come and see, and when you taste, and when you experience God in a powerful way, something changes. When Joesha, his high school friend, invited Darren, hey, would you just come and see what we do in church? Joesha had no idea that 1 year down the road, Suzanne would be healed and free from migraine, and he had no idea. Because God works in ways that are higher than our ways. Right? But all we need to do is we just invite and say, come and see what God is doing in my life. Come and see what God is doing in our midst. You just never know what God is going to do. All it takes is for us to just say, come and see. Come and experience. When we have our Christmas event, just invite friends. Come and see. Come and see the joy, the reason why we celebrate Christmas. Our friends who have kids, come and see the fun fair upstairs and just have fun and just connect and just relate. And I'm sure sitting here, that's the same story for most of us. It's the same story as myself. Aaron is sitting here because my sister invited Aaron. They were classmates. Says, hey, come and see. Come and see. The time is come to McDonald's and see, okay, what we do as a life group. So that's how Aaron came, and Aaron got saved, and he continued to grow in the Lord. That's the story. And when God died on the cross, he died for the whole world. And he created each and every one of us to want to reach out to our God, to want to reach out to our Creator, regardless whether you consider yourself religious or not. So God is already at work. You know, we just have to be an agent to channel that. And it's about inviting. Say, would you want to come and see? Besides coming and see, Jesus also instructs us to go and tell. And we see this all throughout New Testament. When Jesus sent his disciples out, his last instruction to them before he ascended to heaven, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Gospel simply means good news. And the word gospel now potentially has a bad rap to it because people may find that Christians are intrusive or they are insensitive. But the heart of it is really to share God's love to the world. Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so now I am sending you. So sitting here, God has sent you. You work in different offices, you study in different campuses, you're born in different extended family, and God has sent you to be the agent of that good news, to be an agent, to be a blessing in your campuses, in your workplace, in your community, in your family. That's the calling of God for each and every one of us. Come and see, and then go and tell. Matthew 28 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Last week, our Japan mission team just came back. I think they spent about 10 days there working together with our church in Japan, in Shizuoka. About 7 of them, 4 from this church. And they just came back. But go and tell doesn't mean that we can only do it when we go to a different nation. We can do it to our neighbors. We can do it to our colleagues, to our friends and relatives. One of the things that we are doing as a church is that we want to expand our effort to go and tell. Zikwan, the guy who took offering, he had an open door in Tar UC College, which is in Setapa, about 32 kilometers away. And he has an open door to do a camp, to do a leadership workshop about a year ago. And since then, he has been gathering a group of students, maybe about 10 of them, to continue a coaching series. So they meet almost every Monday night for the last 10 months or so. And so tomorrow night, we are actually starting a campus night near campus. So I'm going to share with you. Tar UC College is an example of us expanding our effort to go and tell. This is a college of about 20,000 students. So that's a lot of students over there. It's far away. We have students that come from there, but it's about an hour plus of travel away. Okay, so he has about 50 years of history. His biggest faculty is business. The campus is huge, about 180 over acres. But what we have done November last year is Zikwan started a coaching session whereby they will gather about 10 to 12 students just to do life coaching, finance, relationships, career, faith. Last year, Christmas, we brought a group of them here to celebrate Christmas with us. And in May this year, we had our first salvation among that group. Okay, so we're excited. And just July, last couple of months ago, we have started an Alpha program, which is a program to help people discover more about God every week. And that's been going on for a couple of months. And we felt that it is time for us to expand our scope of go and tell by starting a campus night. So what we're going to do is we're still going to have coaching session, about 1 hour, and then we will have dinner, and then we will have a mini service. It means everything is shortened. So I'll be there tomorrow night to kind of kickstart the first mini service. So do pray for us. If you have friends, you have relatives staying around the area, staying on Setapa, studying in the area, do reach out to us. Just now after service, immediately we have 2 persons. They say, hey, my son is studying there. Okay, he's attending Every Nation Church Malaysia, but he can invite his friends. We have another guy after the service came out and said, hey, I'm staying around the area. If there's anything that I could help, okay? So if you are working, staying around the area, do reach out to us. We may need your help, okay? Whether it's food, whether it's arranging things, whether it's just different things, and you say, maybe I want to commit for 3 months, for 6 months, and we can kind of work that out, okay? So that's something that we are excited about, and I hope that you are excited as well as we want to do something over there, because we believe that as we change the campus, we can change the world. And a lot of movement, a lot of new ideology starts from the campus age. And that's why I personally, I'm so excited about reaching the campus. Myself, I was a campus student when I received Jesus Christ, and I could see the trajectory of my life and how God has led me each and every step along the way. Okay, so later on, we will pray for that. I want to end with this story. If you recall the story just now I shared about Jesus and the Samaritan woman, when she encountered God, everything changes. Her shame has been removed. Her sin, her guilt has been removed. And she literally dropped what she was carrying. She was carrying a water jar. She literally dropped and she ran back to her village. And she began to tell. She go and tell that she has met the Messiah. And this person is sent from God. And as the whole village came to see this woman, who they know of her lifestyle, who they know that she is living as an outcast person, but her countenance is just so different. She no longer had that shame, and she would just begin to come and see, and she began to tell the whole village, come and see that this man, okay, come and see this Messiah. And the whole village went, and Jesus came. And the Bible talks about how many of those believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And he says that, don't say it is still 4 months until the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. You know, God is working in the hearts of different people. They don't have to come to this place for God to work in their hearts. That as we go outside, as we go and tell, we become agents and we become collaborators, partners with what God is doing. Recently, I had an opportunity to pray for someone who is not of the faith. The person is going through something in his life, and there was health issues and there was financial issues. There's just different things entangling in the person's life. And as we talk, I just encouraged him. And at the end of the conversation, I says, well, maybe you may not be used to this, but can I pray for you? And he says, okay, sure, I pray for you. So I prayed. I was asking God, God, what do you want me to say to this person? So as I end that prayer, I released that word which I felt that God wants to encourage with this person. And the person was just touched and says, thank you so much. Thank you so much. When I settle these things, and one day I will visit the church, because I believe that there is a God, but I don't know who He is. And God is already at work with just different ones. And we just have to be continuing to be the carrier of that same message that the church is founded upon. You know, we can do a lot of things as a church. We can run marriage seminar. We can run parenting seminar. We can run how to manage your finance well seminar. We can do things like how to be successful in this area and that area. But the main message that this church must continue to carry is really the message of the gospel. And thousands of years from now, the church will still stand because God is building His church. And like what we learned last week, that God is building His church, and the church will continue to overcome the kingdom and the power of darkness. And we will continue to hear stories like Darren and Suzanne. And we will continue to hear stories like this all across the world. If you are here today, you may be going through certain challenges, as I mentioned, pressure, stressed. I'm not talking about just traffic jam stress, but the kind of stress that you know that it's beyond normal stress. That you may feel that you're going through a certain form of despair, certain form of restlessness in your soul. Okay, that you know that by distracting yourself through movies or through video games, through scrolling through social media, you know those things don't help. But there's this restlessness, there's this despair in your soul, there's this sense of maybe hopelessness is a strong word, but it's sort of that, okay? I want to pray for you, like what Jesus says. Jesus says, come. Come to Him. And you will receive rest. And He will give you rest. I want to pray for you. You don't have to come up wherever you are. You can just close your eyes. If that's you and you want to come to Jesus and you want His rest, real, divine, soulful, spiritual rest, wherever you are, just raise your hands. I'll just pray for you, okay? Anyone else, just raise your hands. Every eye closed and every head bowed. Wherever you are, when you raise your hands, it's a sign of you saying that, God, I'm coming to you. God, I'm accepting your invitation when you say, come to me. All of you who are weary and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Father, you see these hands. Anyone else, just raise your hands wherever you are. It's okay. If you have that particular situation that you are thinking about, that conflict, that hopeless situation, that feeling of being trapped, wherever you are, just raise your hands. It's just coming to God. I may not have the solution. You may not have the solutions. But our God is a God of miracle. Our God is a God of impossible. If God can do for Suzanne, that 20 years of migraine and miraculously God has healed, God can do with you as well in your situation. God, you see these hands, God, Lord. God, I'm saying, God, we are asking you, we are claiming that promise that as we lift up that burden to you, as we lift up that situation, as we lift up that decision to you, I pray for rest to come to my brothers and sisters, especially those who lift up their hands, Lord, that situation. Father, I pray you would give us clarity. Father, I pray you give us joy. Father, I pray you give us that comfort and peace to know that it's okay not to be okay. Because you are okay. And we can hold on to that truth, to that knowing that you are going to be okay. That you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord. That that health issue, that decision issue, Father, even as we raise our hands, we are saying that, God, you come and take over. That I'm exchanging my burden with yours. Jesus, you say that your burden is light and your yoke is easy. We are exchanging that burden. We're exchanging that despair with your rest, with your peace. Not the kind of peace that the world offers, but your kind of peace. God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This fact that God is ministering to some of you here. And God is inviting you. Say, come. Come and see. Come and see my strength. Come and see my rest. Come and see my joy. Come and taste my grace and my love. It is nothing like the world has to offer. Come and see the plans that I have for you. That in God we have a purpose and we have a meaning. We have meaning to life. Come and see. Come and see. God, I thank you, God, Lord, for today, for that invitation that you invited people 2,000 years ago, and you continue to invite us into an up-close personal relationship with you. And for that, we thank you. I want to pray for a group of people, everyone here. You may have a few people who are close to you, names, your families, your colleagues, your friends, who you want them to experience. I want you to, in your mind, just begin to have their names and just pray for them. Okay, just take about 30 minutes to pray for them, that God will work in their hearts. God has already worked in their hearts. Those 2, 3, 4 names, just pray for them. It could be your classmates, it could be your family, your parents, your siblings, your colleagues, your neighbor, people you play badminton with. God, I pray for the names, the friends, the people that we prayed for, God, Lord, that I know, God, Lord, that you love them. I know, God, Lord, that you want to reach out to them, Lord. I pray, God, that you know best. And I pray that you will begin to work different things, God. We know that you work all things for good. God, we also want to commit Thai UC College even as we start our campus night tomorrow. As we launch from our small group to a campus night, a small group to a mini service. God, we want to lift up the team to you as Lee Kuan leads the team, the 4 or 5 of them. We pray for the students that is coming tomorrow. We pray for a great time. We pray that in the coaching, they will find values. They will find things that they can learn. They can grow. But more than that, God, Lord, we pray, God, they will also discover that they have a purpose. That you have called them. You have called them to live a big life. You have called them to live a meaningful life. Because you design and you are our creator. I pray for the students that's coming. We pray for the whole campuses, Lord. We ask for your presence and your peace to go before us, to open up hearts and to open up doors. God, we're excited about what you have called us to do. And for some of us, God, Lord, that you have called us to, that we can contribute, we can volunteer, we can pray. You speak to each and every one of us, God, Lord, because it is your church. It is your work and it is your people. And we thank you. We love you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.